All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the next level. Are you guys going to do it?
The next level.
The next level.
You know, so we've had some...
It works good.
We weren't going to do it.
Well, no, we weren't. Well, and then he gave us that look like,
I felt like it was coming, so I was just like, here we go. But anyway, so we had a bunch of emails come in asking us a bunch of different questions. And we're getting
tons,
back to those, and we love them. So keep them coming. But it really got me and Josh, we're talking the other day when these emails were coming in. We're getting ready for a walleye tournament too coming up. But we started talking about success that we have fishing day to day. We also talk about success in tournaments and what that looks like, what tournament success looks like. And we're going to dive into both of those. But what I think we're going to be talking about really is not to be afraid when you get into the tournament series. And we're going to explain what we mean. We talked like 45 minutes before we turned on these mics. And we're like, why are we not recording this?
Right, exactly.
Because now we're going to go back into what we just talked about. But a lot of good conversation that we had. So I think we kind of want to start off a couple things. First of all, what we talk about a good day fishing and tournament days. They're totally different. You can have a good day tournament fishing.
Right.
And it's an okay day tournament fishing. But it'd be a great day if you're just out fishing.
And tell them, I mean, I think real quick,
I want to start in how we got started.
Yeah. Let's kind of tell them how, you know, how these email questions, so they know when they do email us, kind of the conversation that sparks between the three of us. Mm-hmm. Because I think this episode is a culmination of the email questions and us discussing it, what we have seen as tournament directors and a new role as tournament directors. Watching the two events that we've had and how people have competed and the strategy they've used. And then the tournaments that we've fished in this year, you know, it's almost like this big, giant, I feel like a little bit like a whack-a-mole. Like, I'm learning a lot, but it's like a beating learning, you know? Well, I'm not going to do that again because I'm going to catch one in the chin.
You know,
I'm not gonna,
it's
you
funny
know?
Because the conversation that we had, and we'll dive into it in a minute, that we had, because this is your first year running tournaments. Me and Mitch have had the benefit of doing it for 5 years. We've had this conversation back and forth. And I think it's probably because of the time that we did as Waymaster Tournament Director in a different circuit that we did.
Well, it's kind of messed me up a little. I mean, I go in.
It's going to make you better, though.
It will. It will eventually. And I think that's what this podcast is going to be about is. But I have gone in with a different attitude than what I have seen the winning teams take as a tournament director. And I think that's, to me, what I've pulled away so far is very interesting. And then when we get these emails asking us, like, what do you do when the water starts to drop? Where do the fish go? Or what do you do, let's say, a thermocline question. Like, what is the thermocline? Do you fish the thermocline? How much does a thermocline come into your decision-making process? You know, these are all great questions. And I start to think to myself, well, do I really pay attention to that? I don't either. I mean, the thermocline to me is a moot point for the simple fact of usually we fish much shallower than any thermocline would ever be set up. It may be something that happens to us in November, but most of the time we don't pay much attention. So for me, when I start to hear these and then, you know, all three of us have a conversation or two of us have a conversation about it while we're trying to answer everybody, it really starts to make you think. And so you have to kind of keep these thoughts straight in your mind.
Well, I think we got to break this down. When I talk about a good day fishing, what has made it is just general anglers. Because a lot of the folks that listen to this podcast, they might be doing tournaments, but I think a lot of them probably are just going out to fish. They want to get out on the water. Maybe not.
I would say for the podcast, but for the next level, I'd say a lot of our next level listeners are guys who either do fish tournaments, have fish tournaments, or are interested in fishing tournaments.
It is. Yeah. But you got to start off, though, is getting yourself, and I think this is where we need to go with this, is that guys that fish tournaments, don't fish tournaments, whatever that is, you have to be, I think we start off talking about proficiency of fishing before we get into tournaments.
Yes.
Because if you don't know, if you only know how to jig, well, hopefully that's a jig bite in the tournament you're going to fish, right? So you have to be versatile. So when I'm talking about being
progression.
Good, yes, being good at fishing, you need to know, you need to start, a lot of things that we've talked about in a lot of our podcasts, you have to start putting some of that together and start really thinking about, am I getting proficient at trolling? Am I getting proficient at pulling cranks? Am I getting proficient at pulling bouncers, spinners, slow death, casting cranks, pulling swim baits, all these different
fishing
things.
Different structures.
Yes.
You know, deep, shallow.
So to get a good day on the water consistently or just outside of tournaments, mm-hmm. if you want to get yourself proficient, you need to learn the different techniques. Because if you only know a technique or two, you're going to have a hard row to hoe if you're going to fish a multitude of tournaments.
Well, and we've said it 100 times. It's consistency. You want to be consistent, and consistency wins. But you can't be afraid to go for the big fish. You have to know how to go for the win.
Yeah, let's dive into that in a little bit later. So let's talk about our presentations. What do you think is consistency in that, Mitch?
Well, you know, just like you said, what's a good day in the water for most people? Catching fish, right?
Right.
And just to your point of if you can jig really well, but that's about all you've ever done walleye fishing, yeah, you better hope the jig bite's going, you know, in June. Probably is. You know, you get into August or September, go try your same spots with the jig bite. Yeah, it might be pretty tough. So that's where I think, you know, and this is what we all got from tournament fishing, was it forced us to become proficient in all the different techniques and everything.
Different times of year, too.
And we do. We switch it up. We'll switch it up, you know, of course, even that same day fishing. You know, just because, hey, this is working better, or I think this will work better, so we go try it. We are pretty even, I think, on we could all go out and probably catch fish.
Yeah.
Pretty much anywhere, anytime. I mean, you know, come on.
There's going to be days.
There's days for all of us. But at the same time, we will throw different techniques at them in different locations until we put it together.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, and that is almost the definition of a fishing guide, right? I mean, I think we all could probably be a fishing guide, but most fishing guides don't fish tournaments because they're good at being consistent and producing, but not necessarily always producing the right
fish. It's a different game. You know, when we went out, we've done some charity guiding for different things just because of the whole state and getting permitted insurance and stuff. So me and Mitch have done some raffles and done some guiding where people
some vet stuff.
Yes, yeah, so where people have won trips with us, right? Because it's a raffle for a charity thing. So when we go out there, we're not swinging for the fences. We always ask the last group that we took out. We're like, okay, what do you want to catch today? And they're like, we get a choice. Well, do you want to try to catch, you want to go for big fish? Do you want to catch a bunch of fish? Or do you want to go for walleye? Do you want to try to catch bass? Do you want to try to catch trout? Whatever it is.
If you want to catch trout, we may have to give Junior a call.
Oh, yeah, I know. Right?
Carp is your specialty.
So, but I'm saying, and they don't know that there's a choice, but after you've been on the water enough and you learn different presentations, what you want to try to be is consistent. So if the party you're taking out, or if you're that guy that's just getting out and you want to take your kids out, it's a different day than if you're tournament fishing. So you got to get out there and be consistent. So that's why I know a lot of guides, and they are fantastic fishermen. Mm-hmm. They can really go out and put a good day together.
Right.
I also know that some of them, like you said, Josh, and I have never asked them because it's kind of one of those things. It's like it's almost too personal, you know. But you get the feeling that some of them don't fish tournaments because they're very consistent, but they don't want the reputation to look bad if they don't finish high.
Sure, I've seen that.
It feels that way.
Oh well, I mean seen it. I mean, they will just avoid tournaments because it, you know, if it gets out that they don't do well in them, then it could
damage, affect their business. And I understand that.
Business. Yeah,
yeah, understand. And they're hella fishermen. Yeah. The guys I know, they're
sure.
good sticks.
Yeah, sure. Yep. It's a money thing. You know, a lot of them don't do the, and it happens at the next level too, NWT. And, you know, a lot of guys that are guides that you see a lot in the social media presence and stuff like that, they're not fishing NWT or any of those events. Yep. I mean, they just don't. You know, they might fish maybe an AIM tournament or something, but they're not in there, you know, rolling with the bigger tournament. So
the guys that are doing that for a living.
Yeah, and so it's an interesting thing. But I agree with Mitch that it's, you know, yeah, we can all roll in there and catch fish. But the beginning of how we started to build our consistency is what makes us relatable, I think, to our people who listen to us. You know, I remember when I bought my first boat, I'd been walleye fishing my whole life. But since I had fished from shore, I cast stick baits a little bit, did a lot of jigging, and that's what I did, right? And so when I bought my boat, I was coming from a float tube to a boat. I had two very small utility boxes. One had three or four cranks in it. The other one had jig heads and some jigs. I could fit
your walleye gear.
Yeah, I could fit. I had two spinning rods.
Or your wiper, because you were fishing for
both. Yeah, whatever. And I could fit my entire whatever. Yeah. I could fit my entire
trout in your mouth.
The whole thing.
I couldn't help it, dude.
I could fit my entire tackle box system in the glove box of my boat. You know, and I could lay two rods down on the side by the seats, and I was out and running, right? Yeah. And, you know, now I've got a rod locker full of more rods than I can count, and I've got more utility boxes. I've got, you know, I mean, it's just, it's insane the amount of gear I have. But that all came out of learning new techniques, and I went from having a couple good days a week or one good day a week to, like you said, I mean, pretty much can go out and catch fish at any point. But I have also learned that there is a big difference between that kid that bought the boat with two spinning rods and a couple of utility boxes to the kid now who has to be able to do that no matter the conditions, no matter the lake, no matter the time of year, in the middle of tournament season. And so that is an amazing transition, and I think that's kind of next level type stuff.
Well, boy, I'm here to tell you, too, is when we first started fishing tournaments, I mean, the first time I did it was back in the real early 90s, 92. 92, I don't remember. Maybe 93. It was a long time ago. Jeez. But, geez, Josh wasn't even born yet.
I was in high school. But, barely.
But
he invented fishing.
But, yeah, so that was his, yeah.
He was fishing with his sandals.
He and Jesus.
Yeah, he and Jesus. They're like, so, Jesus, you throw a net or a crankbait?
No, I had Jesus. Dude, it was easy. He's like, want to win?
Sure. He's like, where the hell's Judas? He's always late.
But anyway, so when I first got, I did it really early, right? But when I really, really got into it is when me and Mitch met up, you know, 99, 2000, something like that. And we first decided to start doing it. We both, it's funny because we both had our way of fishing. Me fishing Nebraska, Iowa lakes, kind of, and him fishing more Minnesota lakes. A lot of the same type of lakes, but we still fished a little bit different. And it got me to learn how to Lindy rig better with him because mm-hmm. that's what he was huge into doing. Mm-hmm. And probably casting cranks or pulling boards or something was mm-hmm. something that I did a little bit better. But what we did is learned off each other, and that's mm-hmm. what we're trying to do at these next level in any of our podcasts. But what it forced us to do once we got into the tournament season, we're like, well, okay, we know how to do Lindy rig and we know how to pull cranks.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's not what's happening today.
Right.
Because it happens to be in August, late August, and it's a slab bite. And we're like, what's a slab?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What the hell is that? So it forced us to do this. Now we bought a bunch of tackle for slabbing for when we're fishing August, September, whatever, right. later mm-hmm. on down the line. Or you can actually use it in a year, all time of the year. But you know what I'm talking about.
Well, and then you two sissy boys moved west and really had to learn how to fish because, you know, now you throw in some pretty tough weather conditions and some pretty tough water conditions and... You know, and it's a different story.
It's a good place to become a better fisherman, I think.
It is.
Colorado.
It definitely made us grow and learn. And for the folks that are listening to the podcast, too, that we have a lot of stuff out there for what is going to, you know, put you on the fish at different techniques. So I think that's where it starts is you got to have the desire, want to go out and do it. And if you only got one technique, or you're that guy that can put everything in his fishing glove box, and you have two poles, cool. Start there. What can you do?
Oh, absolutely. It was a great start.
But what can you do with that gear?
Right.
And then listen to one of the podcasts, read an article, talk to somebody else, whatever it is, and say, wow, I didn't know how, like planer boards, let's just say that. I never even heard of those. Look them up, start fishing them. Now you've just learned another technique.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's the same thing. Dude, that was me. I had no idea what a planer board was. I was absolutely almost insulted. I had to go buy different fishing rods and reels to use these planer boards. You know, I mean, and again.
But that's all part of the learning.
Absolutely.
You really didn't have to, because we see guys do it right now that they use their spinning rods, and it's what happens is they can do it. It's just not getting them to the next
level. I don't even think you could. I think you snap your spinning rod.
I fished a full fall season pulling a board with my one spinning rod, holding it, sitting on the front of my boat.
Yeah.
And I caught tons of fish.
Did you?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You can do it, but I'm just saying. So, but once you get in that, you're like, okay, to make this better, I'm going to get a trolling rod. I'm going to put them in rod holders.
I'm going to get a line catcher.
And then, so that's just how it starts. Yep. You start getting the gear that's going to make you more proficient, but you start understanding how to use that gear, and you start understanding the different techniques.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, but I just remember, I mean, I could see the black hole developing under my bank account as I started to do more of these techniques, because it was like,
awesome, though.
Yeah, it's like, okay, now you need this, and you're going to really want to do this. You don't have to. I mean, it's like with the game we play, right? Yep. You don't have to, but you're probably going to want to. Yep. And I think that's the piece to keep in mind as we discuss this stuff is, you know, we all had that starting point, but here we are. And so, and then that's where we go from the difference between a good day where you're, like you said, caught tons of fish, holding your spinning rod with a board off to the side of, you know, your 13-foot aluminum or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the difference between, you know, owning the tournament style boat and you got the rod holders up and down the gunnels and boards are everywhere and you've got boxes and boxes of just crankbaits, not to count jigs, swim baits, you know.
Whatever.
Whatever. I mean, it's just insane. So. But that is the difference. And I think that is the difference between a consistent fisherman and a winning fisherman. Mm-hmm. And, but as we were discussing before we started recording, hold on to those roots. And I am learning that this year, in a big way. Mm-hmm. Is you have to hold on to those roots, because they produced fish. And you got good at them, and that's what you fished for years and years and years. So hold on to those roots and adapt them with the new knowledge you have, but don't forget how to drag a jig across the bottom. Don't forget how to use a boat to move your Lindy rig. Don't forget how to, you know, if the fish aren't biting, you can go and pull a long line, you know, an 1/8 ounce or a 1/4 ounce jig head on a long line behind the boat and just let it sit way out there and just move across the rocks.
I think one of the things, and you know, it's good. It's good to have a bunch of different techniques that you can fish. You know, and it's just good to be able to go out there and have a good day, right? But I think it's almost becomes paralyzing at times, because I know that me and Mitch have on the water. We've been out pre-fishing. Conditions change day one in a tournament. And that where we were out pre-fishing, our 3, 4, 5 spots that we've located, not there. And a lot of times you're scratching your head, right? So going back to the techniques that you know, now you're starting, oh my God, we know how to do, let's say, 10 different things. Where do we start now? Because it's not working. Just start getting through it. Because once you've built up that knowledge base, you will figure it out. Right. But the problem, and we've talked about this, Josh, the problem is, out of those 10 techniques, you usually end up gravitating towards probably 2 or 3, because mm-hmm. those are the ones that are consistently putting you on quality fish. Not huge fish, not dinks, but they're putting you on quality fish.
Right.
So that's where the paralysis comes in tournament fishing.
Yes.
So we go out tournament fishing right now. I think one of the big problems, Josh, you talked about this, and I thought it was, you probably hit it right on the head, and me and Mitch talked about it too a little bit, but is a lot of times when you're going out in a 50 boat field, 100 boat field, whatever that is, could be a 20 boat field. Mm-hmm. A lot of times fishing for consistency is huge in tournament fishing. If you're looking to try to establish yourself through a season to get somewhere else,
mm-hmm. right? Like a team of the year or
team of the year
NTC
or
spot,
yeah, exactly.
Or
whatever that is.
Well, whatever, just to establish yourself in that circuit.
Yes. Yep. There's a difference right there of, so are you fishing big or are you fishing consistent? Now, me and Mitch, a lot of times our goal is everybody wants to cash checks too, but we really enjoy going fishing the big show at the National Team Championship and getting invited. So a lot of times we're fishing, we want to get in that top 10 all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not easy to do, but if you're consistent with all these different techniques, you can get there pretty, not easy, but you can get there. You have a good chance of getting there. Right?
More times than not, you can get there.
Like you said, Josh, I feel like a lot of times, because you're in that consistency mode, that you're fishing for 12th place.
You're 100% right. And I always...
100% right. Yep, I agree.
I feel like this year has been... And my partner, Eric, and I talked about this, is... I just looked at him this past weekend, and that's kind of what I'm referring to, is this past weekend I just got back from a really tough tournament where it was some crazy conditions with weather and, you know, 50-mile-an-hour winds and 8-foot waves and, you know, I mean, just terrible, especially the second day. And we can talk about weather conditions and stuff in a little bit. But we were in 20th place after the first day.
And 100 teams or so?
100 teams. And, you know, I mean, that's pretty average
You're
for
in
us. Pretty consistent for us. We want to make sure, you know, we're not going to win it the first day necessarily, but we sure as hell aren't going to lose it. Yep. And so 20th, and it was one of those tournaments where it was tough to come by, a lot of keeper fish. There were some, I mean, one team came in with 30-plus pounds, right? So they were in the lead by 10 pounds. But that's what kind of bite it was, is we had two fish, but we're still, one more fish would have put us up 10 spots. So it was a very tight field all the way up to about second. And then from second to first, there was a huge gap. And, you know, it's crazy because I just, I was happy with 20th. We both were like, all right, that works. You know, we didn't have a great day, but we didn't have a terrible day.
Yep.
You know, we had a couple good fish, and we'd caught probably 50 fish, but they weren't the right fish. And it started to get me to think, you know, and then we changed our pattern. We changed what we were going to do. We went back to more basic, knowing that the difference between the really good fish and the fish, the kind of just consistent fish we were catching, was the difference between trolling and casting. Trolling bite was producing fish. The casting bite was producing better fish. That has been the theme of tournament fishing for me for the last 7 or 8 years. Hey guys, thanks for listening to All Eyes on Fishing podcast. I hope you liked your little taste of the next level. If you get a chance, go ahead and subscribe so you can continue to listen to Winning Ways. We appreciate all our listeners, and we ask that you share our podcast with your friends and continue to send in your questions and comments. We really enjoy the interaction with you all. Thanks again, and if you get a chance, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.